Welcome to EB5 Investment Voice, where attorney insights intersects with immigration investments. If you are a foreign investor, domestic fund manager, or enterprising entrepreneur and want to get the most out of the EB5 program, you have come to the right place. I'm Mark Deal, and I'll be your co-host on this journey. I'm joined by your host, Mona Shaw, and other attorneys at Mona Shaw & Associates, as well as immigration leaders from around the world. So let's get into EB5 Investment Voice.
You know, Mark, we've had several podcasts relating to the EB-5 Reform and Integrity Act of 2021. You know, the legislation which was introduced by Senators Grassley and Senators Leahy, and incidentally, now has been introduced in the House under H.R. 2901 by Representative Fitzpatrick and, I believe, Representative Stanton. But now that we are under 30 days from the end of June, when the EB-5 program is set to expire, I can tell you there are quite a few nervous bodies out there.
Nervous bodies. Are there still EB-5 issues to worry about? I thought everything's hunky-dory.
I wish hunky-dory.
I thought something was up as we sit here with today's guest, our man with his eyes, ears, and voice on Capitol Hill, the executive director of IIUSA, Aaron Growl.
Aaron, welcome back to EB5 Investment Voice. And tell us, is everything hunky-dory or not?
Well, it certainly depends on how you look at it, Mona. I wouldn't say that it's hunky-dory. I am one of those stressed bodies that are out there hoping for many other shoes to drop between now and these next 29 days. And I'm not sure if the next month is going to go very quickly or very slow. No, surely not everything is A-OK.
So, Aaron, it sounds like there is a real risk here to the EB-5 program, right?
Yes, that's correct. I mean, it's the same risk that has been following us from all the way back in December of 2020. But now we're 29 days away from a very, very real deadline. And that risk is simply looming larger, like a wave coming up to the beach.
Just not a relaxing wave.
So, Aaron, we've discussed what's in the bill, and there's a lot of good stuff in the bill relating to integrity and good stuff for EB-5 investors, more onus on regional centers, granted. But we really didn't touch the definition of TEAs or investment amounts in this bill at all. Is that what the issue is here?
Tough to say. I mean, as we parse through who may or may not be opposed to the bill, certainly that is one measure of opposition. There is a group that really would like what they claim is holistic reform to the program in the next 29 days, which, according to their talking points, would address things like the definition of TEA and the investment amounts and the cost differentials between TEA and non-TEA definitions. What I worry about, though, Mona, is given the contentiousness of those debates and the stickiness of the issues, is it possible to resolve them in 29 days and reauthorize the program at the same time? It's harder and harder for me to believe.
Well, given the history over the last 6 years, I don't think 29 days will make it work. But what are we looking at here? Because my understanding, Aaron, is that the vast majority of the EB-5 industry were backing this bill.
Absolutely. I mean, speaking on behalf as the executive director of IIUSA, I can say that members of the association, to a T, 100%, support the reauthorization through the Grassley-Leahy bill and the Fitzpatrick-Stanton bill. And if the association represents 99% of the EB-5 community, then there is consensus and there is a belief that these bills are the right way to go. There is an effective minority, however, that continues to push the narrative of the possibility of a holistic reform. And as we just mentioned, that type of reform in 29 days is very difficult to get your head around, especially because no one has introduced any alternative possibility. There are no other bills that have been introduced that would accomplish anything.
So there's no plan B, because I know that the House bill really mirrors the Senate bill.
100%, word for word. It was a cut and paste. So the House bill is the Senate bill, and the Senate bill is the House bill. And as far as I know, there is no plan B. There is no other legislative vehicle or option or protocol that would allow the program to be reauthorized in 29 days. I suppose it's always possible, but nobody is stepping up, and there's not even a rumor that there would be something else to fall back on.
So I have a couple of questions for you, Aaron. Number one, there has been a rumor circulated that if there isn't a consensus and agreement by June 30th, then Senator Grassley and Senator Leahy would agree to a continuation and perhaps attach this bill to one of the other bills which are floating around Congress at the moment relating to immigration.
No, that's just not true. There is no truth to that rumor. First and foremost, because there are no other bills floating around Congress that would pass in the next 29 days. There's nothing to attach this bill to. It is a standalone bill, and it was designed that way, quite frankly, in 2020 by House and Senate leadership, who decoupled the bill from the appropriations measures that were its long standing pro forma vehicle. So, no. And furthermore, even if there were such a bill that would allow us to attach to it, I doubt very seriously. In fact, I know for a fact that Senator Leahy and Senator Grassley would not agree to a simple extension. What's the point? We would be right back where we are in 3 months with no changes. And I don't think that Senator Grassley and Senator Leahy are interested in that approach.
I've heard rumors from, not just rumors, but I've heard that Senator Cornyn also stated the same, that they would oppose any extension, that it was this bill, their way or the highway.
I actually had an opportunity to speak with Senator Cornyn. Rare. Usually guys at my pay grade are speaking with staff, and if I'm lucky, senior staff, but I had an opportunity to be with Senator Cornyn in Dallas about 2 weeks ago, and he expressed that he had reached out to Grassley seeking the possibility of a clean extension. And he stated clearly that he was rebuffed, that Senator Grassley was not interested in. And I had the opportunity to explain to Senator Cornyn what I just shared with you and your listeners. And that is that at a staff level, I felt the senator should be aware of what we're discussing and what we're hearing. And that is that 3 month extension doesn't do anything for anybody.
Yeah.
And we would be right back where we are right now. And frankly, if a 3 month extension could pass the Senate and the House, then this bill, S-831, can pass the Senate and the House. Because keep this in mind, in order for there to be a clean extension, there still has to be a bill.
Yeah.
Somebody still has to introduce legislation on the House side and on the Senate side in order to take that step. The president still has to sign that into law. Why would we go through that just to put ourselves right back where we are now when we have a bipartisan, bicameral approach?
Okay, so now let's really get to the elephant in the room, the opposition. Mm. It has key policymakers in their pocket, for want of a better word. We have Senate Majority Leader from New York, Chuck Schumer, and another key person from New York is Representative Nadler. I understand that both Representative Nadler and Chuck Schumer are not listening to the constituents in their constituency, that they are going along with this minority of views.
Well, I want to be really careful here. I believe that Majority Leader Schumer...
Well, you're not New York. I'm in New York. So I think I have the right to say this. And not only that, we represent a lot of clients in New York who have benefited from the EB-5 program and it would be an absolute disaster. I cannot start to say if the EB-5 program did not continue. We have projects where there are hundreds of people who would suffer from this and cause an incredible amount of unemployment and all kinds of issues with the projects. And right now, New York is in recovery mode. Mm. This is the last thing we need.
Yeah, a couple of points, and then I'll get back to my original sentiment. You know, New York in a recovery mode, you're absolutely right. I mean, the new Bureau of Labor Statistics data shows that many more census tracts within Manhattan itself, forget the five boroughs or the greater metropolitan area, but even within Manhattan are actually TEAs when this time last year, they were not.
You know, we had a podcast all about this.
Yeah. And with regards to the Majority Leader and Chairman Nadler, I believe earnestly and with all my heart that these gentlemen want to do what's best for the program, that they don't want to see the program lapse. I don't think either one of them want to see this program lapse. The issues that I'm having as an advocate for the program is helping them understand there's more than one side story of the reauthorization of the program. I think that there are those who enjoy better access, I'll say, than we have so far, who have the senator's ear and who have Mr. Nadler's ear and are explaining to them the values of a holistic reform package. Look, there are values there. What I come back to, however, is 29 days.
Right. Time to act on what we can do, not think about what we could do or could have done.
It's wonderful to think of all of these great things that we can do in legislation that would improve and strengthen the program. But I need to understand how that's going to happen. And right now, I don't see a legislative path forward that would allow any of these grand bargain holistic reforms happen. What I want to encourage your listeners and the senator staff and the chairman staff as well is to let's take a holistic look at the entire reality of this reauthorization. Let's take a look at what's possible before June 30th and what's not. Let's take a look at what's possible after June 30th if we have 5 years to tackle the sticky issues that are out there. Some have said that if you don't tackle them now, you never will. And people will go out of business before we're able to address the definition of TEA, et cetera, et cetera. And I just don't buy into that. I think that is politics by fear. To say that there will be germane conversations around immigration reform between now and 5 years from now is an understatement. The president has introduced a comprehensive immigration reform package that will get a lot of attention from Congress. There will be plenty of chances to address improving the program further. Of course, and that includes seeking new visas for the program. But what I don't understand and what I want to make clear to your listeners and to Senator Schumer and Mr. Nadler is that there's just no time. We don't have time right now to do this.
I agree, Aaron, but going back to the politics of fear, and this is not politics. If the program is not reauthorized, number one, we stand to look awful in the eyes of the world. We literally are asking people from overseas to put millions of dollars into the U.S. economy, sometimes blindly.
For American jobs.
Yes, for American jobs. And for jobs in New York City, exactly where Nadler and Schumer are based. So that for number one. Number two, if this program is not reauthorized, what happens to the existing investors who have already put their faith into the program?
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question. And that's part of why people are becoming very stressed out. You know, I don't have an answer. In the past, the program has lapsed. And the difference between then and now is that in the past, when the program has lapsed, it has still been part of the language of a piece of legislation that must pass. Yes, it lapsed. But everybody knew that at some point, the spending bill on which the program is attached would pass. And so the lapse was really that, just a lapse. And we could wring our hands for a few weeks or a month, but we knew that eventually Congress had to fund the Department of Homeland Security, or it had to fund the Department of State. That wasn't going to happen. This time, if the program lapses, there is no safety net.
Aaron, you did mention that 99% of the EB-5 community and outside have supported this program. Now, first of all, on the non-congressional front, what kind of support are we looking at?
Well, obviously, we have all of the EB-5 stakeholders that are members of IIUSA, both in the United States and abroad, you know, that we know and love. But in addition to that, there are a growing number of mayors from across the country. There are trade associations specifically representing the hospitality industry, the National Association of Realtors, the National Association of Counties. Among those that are representing hospitality industry, you have huge organizations like the American Hotel and Lodging Association, all support the reauthorization under S-831 because all of them, although not traditionally members of the EB-5 industry per se, they are part of the community because they all benefit from EB-5 investment and they see the same cliff that we do and they don't want us to go over the edge. So hotels, mayors, municipal projects, transportation projects, projects that would support local schools. And I mean, it goes on and on and on. And there's a growing number of people across the country who realize that we're talking about millions, if not billions of dollars of tax-free investment into U.S. economies, which is what we desperately need as we recover.
That's so impressive. In the House, I know that list keeps growing as well as to which representatives are.
Yes.
Yep. We have a few extra names.
Yes, yes, we do. In fact, just this morning, we got word that Representative Brian Steele from Wisconsin co-sponsored the bill. So I think all in all, let me count real quick. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. We have 15, 16 members of the House of Representatives who are co-sponsoring the bill. And it is
It's growing.
Just about a 50-50 split, Democrats and Republicans. So it's bipartisan.
Yeah, it's true bipartisanship. What about the Senate?
In the Senate, obviously, we have our two champions, Senator Grassley and Senator Leahy, and I believe Senator Coons as well, Democrat from Delaware.
Right. So now we really do need the support, though, of Representative Nadler, and we need the support of Senator Schumer. What message do you want to give our listeners, Aaron?
Specifically to listeners who are in New York and in the New York City metropolitan area, to reach out to these men and let them know that in addition to the voices that they are already hearing from their constituencies, that you too have a voice and you are supporting S-831 or H-R-2901. I think the more that Senator Schumer and Chairman Nadler understand that the constituency they represent in this area is much broader than it may seem, the better chance we have of coming to an agreement and a passage of this bill.
Well, there you go, loyal EB5 Investment Voice listeners, and especially those that live in New York. With less than 29 days to go, we need your help. We need some action. And that is to reach out to Congressman Nadler and Senator Schumer and let them know how important the EB-5 program is to America, is to yourself, as well as to New York. In fact, Mona, the other day, you were just telling me that the EB-5 program through the regional centers have over $41 billion in investments in the U.S., and that's created projects and jobs. And that's just a piece of what would go away, as well as all the new projects and developments. And I'm rambling, so stop me, Mona, from rambling. But people need to act. This is the time to act. We've got 4 weeks to do something.
Mark, we can't stress that enough. We have less than 4 weeks, not even 4 weeks. And to all of our clients in the New York metropolitan area, please reach out to us if you need help, but reach out to the Senator and Representative Nadler and let them know that we cannot afford to let the EB-5 program lapse. Thank you, Aaron, for being as eloquent as usual. And thank you for bringing these points out.
My pleasure. I thank both of you guys for the continued opportunity and for inviting me back. So thank you for what you're doing as well.
Thank you for being with us today on EB-5 Investment Voice. The topics presented in this podcast is informational in nature and is not to be taken as specific legal advice. If you have questions on the topics presented in this episode or other investment immigration needs, please contact Mona Shaw & Associates. Mona and her attorney staff can be reached at mshawlaw.com. That's mshahlaw.com. Make sure you don't miss our next episode focusing on a different aspect of the EB-5 program by subscribing to the podcast. While you're at it, leave us a rating on iTunes. If you really found this episode valuable, share it with someone else that could benefit from this information. Until then, I'll see you on the next episode of EB-5 Investment Voice.